Yes, look at this. It is Thursday, it is 9, and it's wild card time. That's right, we're going that way this week, guys. How are we doing, my fellow playoff enjoying Cowboys fans that are on this show this weekend?
Feeling great.
Look at that.
NFC See, that's East all, champions.
That's all good, but I want something bigger.
Absolutely. That's it. That's exactly it. One is like, this is just a small purchase. I want the next one and the next one after that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously, go on.
I was just going to say, could you imagine the sales of the Super Bowl memorabilia if we were to do it and do the business and win the whole thing? Could you imagine the sales? It would be ridiculous.
Yeah,
it'd be definitely a lot of fun, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, it would add some credence as well to this rumor about the NFL being scripted, though. You lift the Jimmy Johnson curse and we win the Super Bowl that first season as well, you know. But
yeah, well, you know, I've always said it that, you know, the Jimmy Johnson curse was the Bambino curse, like it was for the Yankees. So, oh no, the Red Sox, wasn't it? Yeah, Red Sox. Yeah.
So, just want to give a wee shout out to the people who's watching on X/Twitter. If you want to comment on the show, you need to jump onto our YouTube channel. If you want to comment and interact with the show, get your comments in, etc. Just unfortunately with Twitter and or X, whatever you call it, they don't allow comments on the show. So if you want to interact, come join onto our YouTube stream instead.
There you go. Yes, because we no longer have the Facebook page. I don't know if anyone explained it. Did they talk about that on?
Yeah, we explained it. Unfortunately, we lost our Facebook page, and not to go into any details, we just don't have it anymore, pretty much. And unfortunately, so we're just now going to keep on building up the profile for our YouTube channel, and it would mean a hell of a lot for us if you can hit the like and subscribe button. So that would be great. So much appreciated.
Share it around. Show us you care and give us a share. So, yes, we will continue. Don't you worry. And you will still be able to find us as well on all the other various podcast sites like Spotify and Apple Music podcasts and Amazon Music. We're everywhere. You just because of some very naughty people, we no longer have the thing. We still have the group, so that's still going. So that's the big
yes. thing. And speaking about the group, we've actually we're actually having our first competition of the year with the UK Cowboys fans. So you, unfortunately, if you're not quick enough, all the slots have been filled up. We're having a tombola /Raz. For one of these t-shirts. So that is the prize. So everyone's now put in their name. We're just awaiting all the payments from everyone that's brought their names down. And we will have our winner announced tomorrow on our Facebook group. So if you're in the competition and you want to, or if you want to check out who the winner is, be sure to go and visit our Facebook group page, because that's where all the action's going to be, and many more competitions are coming this way this year.
We'll even do some free giveaways as well. Like, absolutely. Once we'll build it up, and so you won't, in the end, you won't even be paying for anything. We'll just be giving stuff away. So yes, that's all to come. But let's get on to Wild Card Weekend then, guys, and get talking on the big game.
Absolutely.
So we start every show, and if you're watching, whether you're watching live or whether you're watching after the show has gone out, make sure to comment. Just basically let us know at this stage, what is your general thoughts and feelings on this weekend's game?
For me, I'm a lot more confident than I have been against the Packers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is no longer with Green Bay. That's an obvious one.
Yes.
They have been very topsy-turvy this season. Don't get me wrong, Jordan Love has kind of found his stroll at the tail end of the season, but he's not really played a defense like ours. let's be brutally honest on it. So that's the conclusion I'm coming to. I think we've got too much star power on both ends of the football, both ends of the team, from offense to defense, and I think we're going to absolutely get our revenge for the Des Cotta and for the previous playoff game that we had.
Can you believe though, right, Paul? Can you believe this?
Nine years ago today.
Can you believe how quickly that's gone? That was like, that honestly feels like a couple of weeks ago that happened.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, you're hearing about it, and it wasn't until today, and obviously it all came up, and you're going, was that really 2015? And you're thinking, no, it can't have been. But sure enough, it was crazy.
Joe's just asking, is your Facebook page down? It's like, unfortunately, Joe, it is. So we just kind of mentioned at the very start of the show, our Facebook page is no longer existing. So if you want to keep tuning in to the UK Dallas Cowboys fans show, podcast, it needs to be on YouTube, or if you're on Twitter. But if you're on Twitter and you want to comment on the show, you want to jump onto our YouTube channel, and if you want to interact and engage and ask us any questions, and we'll ask you your opinions as well. So get the discussion going in the chat, folks. We'd love to see that.
Yes. Yeah. So we ain't going nowhere. It will take a lot more than what these people did. And do you know what? I think it's the same people who did Twitter, you know.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think they're just targeting everything. So,
yeah. They're going for it. Whoever these people are, they are going for us. We've got our own little conspiracy battle going on over here in Techno Wars. So there's somebody. I have, do you know what? I have my suspicions without going into too much depth on this. I do believe it's somebody from the UK, put it that way. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
I don't think it is. Because I'm the most tech savvy here, and I can assure you I don't think it is. But anyway, enough of that. Yes. Let's talk about the game.
Yeah. So, Lorne, thoughts and feelings. Yep. Jen, give with it, guys at home. Send us your comments on this question too.
Well, I think the main thing is that Aaron Rodgers is away. This is a very young franchise that we're going up against. I think the average age is only about 25. So. And you know, half of them are only first or second year experience as well. So, I just read Joe's comment there. Sorry, but yeah, and the other thing as well, if you look at the history of the Cowboys Packers in the playoffs, Packers won the first two games. We had a stretch of four straight, and then they've won the last two playoff games. So we're 4-4. Mm-hmm. I think it's about time that we start with a little streak of ourselves. You know, go back to the old Brett Favre era where you know, we won three straight against them in the playoffs. I think this year we've got it. And the fact that we're at home certainly gives you a bit
of a
boost.
That's the big one, yeah. So here's an interesting one, right, guys? A lot of people have been complaining. I'm worrying because, so for the Green Bay Packers, they've been missing Aaron Rodgers. Injury again, you know, he's often injured, Aaron Rodgers. But when he does play, he's lethal. And in the last three games, he's rushed for over 350 yards. People are concerned.
Did you say Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones.
Right. Okay. I wasn't too sure what you meant there.
Aaron Jones, yeah. So right. He's back in. AJ Dillon really kind of, because I've gone back and watched a few of their games to go back and take a look at things. AJ Dillon really, he proved he's a very serviceable rotational running back that can come in and spell Aaron Rodgers when he needs to. That's perfectly fine as a main. You know, as the bell cow, he's proven he's really not the guy. But people are concerned with this, saying, look, they've been rushing hard and fast in the last three games. I can turn around and tell you, though, that the Dallas Cowboys in the last three games averaged only 88 rush yards per game. which is fourth fewest in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. Mm. How does that make you feel now, guys?
I certainly feel that this game's ours to, you know, I think the fact that we've got Hankins back and everything like that will be able to hold up against the run for these guys. Both of their running backs are presently limited in the practice. One's got a stinger and AJ Dillon's got a stinger and thumb injury. Aaron Jones has got a knee and a finger injury as well. So they're hobbling a bit. Their injury report is quite extensive. But you know, I think our defense is up to it, and you have seen an improvement in Micah Parsons' play against the run as well. So
true.
I think our run defense has been getting stout again, and I think it is coming at the right time. And equally, our run offense is getting better as well. So
yeah. I mean, we'll get to the run offense because that's something I do want to touch on, because there's quite an interesting little tidbit that I've noticed, and I'm sure if I've noticed it, you guys have, that was on the offensive line, more specifically on the right. But we'll stick so far at the moment with the Cowboys' run defense. They did as well in the last 3 weeks face two very prominent rushing teams, Miami and the Lions. Both were in the top five in rush yards average rush yards per game. And the Cowboys managed to hold their own. And they didn't allow that many rushing touchdowns. And one of the things I've noticed, and I don't know if you guys did, is the inside run shut down considerably in the last 3 weeks. And in the last 3 weeks, Jonathan Hankins was injured and Mazzie Smith was in.
I'm just saying. I mean, Hankins was back at the weekend there against the Commanders.
Yeah.
But certainly Mazzie Smith is... Mazzie Smith, since coming into the starting lineup, you know, he wasn't to blame about Buffalo because it all bounced out to the outside. His interior coverage was there. You know, and this, to be honest, this year, our run defense has been pretty stout. We haven't, other than James Cook, we haven't given up a 100-yard rusher this season. We just had an absolute brain fart in the Buffalo Bills game.
Weather didn't really help.
Yeah.
You know.
And again, it goes that, you know, we're not very good when we have to travel to colder climates. So
that is true also.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that is something that's interesting. But here's what I'm going to ask Paul about, and this is certainly going to fire everyone up at home as well. Micah Parsons finishes the season first in pressures, six in sacks, fifth in tackles for a loss, six in quarterback hits, but didn't draw a holding call for 11 weeks.
I thought you were going to say that fact he didn't get selected.
He did not get selected for All-Pro either, no.
Absolute joke. Probably the best defensive player in the league, and he's not an All-Pro. I'm sorry, but that's just ridiculous. But go back to the holding calls.
Yeah.
As much as I don't want to bash the referees too much, but I have bashed them quite a lot this year.
They deserve it, mine.
Yeah, they've been so inconsistent, not just for us, but for a lot of games. But when it's so blatantly obvious and calls are not getting called when they're supposed to, what on earth is going on by the referees? But I mean, and in some way, I do feel bad for referees because they are undershort of numbers for referees. This is where I got my source from. They're understaffed and they're going to look to, like, and we won't get a update till 2025.
Correct.
So it's not going to change much unless they bring in new referees in, with the more inexperienced referees, they're going to be maybe more trigger happy, caught making calls when they shouldn't be doing it. But it's the refereeing standards are not going to be good for the next couple of years. Let's just leave it at that, really.
It's interesting though. Today, again, when I was driving home tonight, I was listening to Talking Cowboys, And I think it was Nick Harris said that somebody's gone away and had a look at the other, I think it's the top seven pass rushers in this league to see how many pass rushes that they've been averaging. And I think it's in weeks 12 to 17, they've all averaged at least one per game. And Micah hasn't had anything since week six. You know, something is seriously wrong. And maybe it's the fact that Micah Parsons is actually going up and complaining to them after, you know, after the game, what have I got to do and all this, that, you know, they shut it down. But going back to the all-pro teams, that was just the NFLPA. So that's supposedly the players. And then there's some stupid rule that you can only play, vote for people that you actually play against at your opposition position. So tackles only play against or report against the edge linemen. The Associated Press ones come out tomorrow, so look out for that. And you know, I'm sure there's, you know, there's certainly been enough talk about it this week that Mike has not been there, that, you know, obviously the press are surprised that he's not been called upon. So
yeah totally.
Yeah, it is very, very strange. And like, because I put a post on Twitter and I was like, explain this without using the word conspiracy. And people are just like, I don't know. Because how do you put it down? Like, it's virtually impossible for a guy to have over 100 pressures, 103 pressures, Micah Parsons finished the season on. So over 100 pressures, and in that time, not get any holding calls. Like, those offensive linemen must have either been leaking insanely bad to just let Micah Parsons walk through, or they were doing something on every play to try and stop it.
Yeah. And the other one this week as well is obviously PFF. They put out their all-pro quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that, Lauren. Oh, do not get me started. They put Josh Allen in there?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The guy who is second and leading in interceptions is above Dak Prescott. Get the hell out of there. That is PFF for all I care right now. Can go and suck a bag of beep right now.
Well, I did actually speak to Gordon about it. Obviously, you've met Gordon as well, and we had him on the 24-hour podcast. I said, how the hell? Because the one thing, if you go and have a look at their player position and analysis as well, Dak is listed at number two, but they've gone for the first and second, they've gone first and third. I said, so how is that? And they went, well, we basically weighted it against the, you know, Dak had bad games against good teams and they had, you know, weak competition when he...
There's a magical statistic that came up all of a sudden.
Yeah, there. Yeah. I said, so you had your funny weighting systems and all that sort of stuff. So. Never mind.
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
They make it up as they go along. It's the same thing as, like, when, you know, I liken it a lot to college football, when they find ways to get Alabama into the playoffs, and they come up with some very weird words. And what's funny is you'll hear these words and you'll be like, right, okay, that's what we're playing with. And then ironically then, you will never ever hear of it again. They seem to just fizzle away. And then when you ask the question, they go, oh, we're not doing that this year. It's a system we're not using. You're like, ah, how appropriate. Look how that worked out. It's just, it is very strange. And we know the reasons why. There were some media people who were honest about that earlier in the season, about the reasons why these things happen. But that's the way we got to live. You know, that's the world we live in now when it comes to Dallas Cowboys football. But then, guys. Oh, go on.
I was going to say, if I was a Florida State fan, I'd be raging right now.
Yeah. Well, you won't have to worry. Bama won't be anywhere near the top of the rankings.
No, it's going to be a whole new era, put it that way.
Well, Saban did buy a mansion in Florida in the summer, so that was the big giveaway, I think, really, that he was going to be done. And the guy's like 78, 79. Nah, I don't know what he is. He's like 73 years old.
Tight to put his feet up, for sure. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing it for years. But anyway, yes. On the other side of the ball then, right? So I know you guys are going to like this. So let's talk offensive line. Zach Martin, he was ill and left out of last week's game. He's back. Tyler Smith with the plantar fasciitis. so he's looking like he's going to play. That means we've got an offensive line at full strength, which is important because against Green Bay, establishing the run is the way that you beat them. I've had a look at it. They have the fewest passes thrown against them because teams, when they establish the run against them, they just go hammer and tong and they just keep pounding and keep pounding and they keep pounding because they've got a lot of guys who are very, very good at rushing the passer when you look at it. The best example I can give is they got a rookie in from Iowa, Lucas Van Ness, right? Now, when you go and watch him, incredible pass rusher. His biggest problem is he's light for the position and he cannot hold up against the run. That is the epitome of the Packers 3-4 defense. It's all about the pass rush, very little against the run. And if they can establish it with the offensive line at full strength, the Cowboys could win this. Talk to me, guys, about what you think about the offensive line. And I got a little tidbit I want to bring in then.
I mean, for me, after looking at last week's performance and stuff, I was really impressed with Brock Hoffman. So
yeah,
even if Tyler Smith is not 100%, I still feel very comfortable having Brock Hoffman in playing at left guard or whatever and stuff like that. So I would have no concerns with that whatsoever. In terms of us running the game, I want to see more Rico Dowdle, if that's the case, to bring more of that power element to the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a 3-4 that generally it's a 3-4 that we're going up against.
Yeah.
Means that, again, you should be able to get in through the gaps, the A gaps. More so than bouncing it out to the outside, because obviously you got two speed rushers that can come up and at least string you along until everybody gets there to gang tackle you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want to see Dowdle, I want to see Lupke or whoever firing up the middle, and then that eventually will weaken it as well. However we do it, we've got to get up on these guys first of all. If we play with a lead, they are not a good team for coming back as well. So we need to establish our offense, get it going. And if that means that it's hammering it down the middle with a running game, then that's what we need to do.
Paul?
No, I've already said what I had to say.
Yeah. So one of the things, there's two little tidbits, and one of them I especially like, right? So we'll talk about the first one is Zach Martin and Terrence Steele on the right-hand side of the line. In the back half of the season, and I think some of this is down to the psychology of the ACL injury Terrence Steele had, that I think he's starting to believe in his ability, or not his ability, but the injury isn't going to like flare up or he's going to get any pain or anything from it. That he's putting trust back in that knee. Right-hand side of the line with Zach Martin and Terrence Steele, it's not what it was last year, but it's getting close. What do you guys feel on that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Terrence Steele is back to being a force. Certainly on rushing downs, he's back to being a force. And he's back to be almost, I'd say he's probably about 95% of what he was last year, which is still bloody good. there's still things he needs to tidy up with the pass protection. Obviously, he gave up a couple of sacks to Aiden Hutchinson in the Detroit game. Amazingly, this chopping and changing of Zach Martin and Brock Hoffman, various other guys around the line. This line really hasn't, since the 49ers loss, this line hasn't really suffered from the fact that you've been chopping and changing and the whole Tyron Smith not practicing during the week and all that sort of stuff. Normally you would want them all practicing together, get on the same page, the sort of Spartan approach to everything, but we seem to be having a great performance from our offensive line and great communication with them, even though they haven't been practicing together.
So many line changes.
Yeah.
Mike, I just want to point out that there's a mistake in that prompt. Eagles are not 12-5.
Where are we? I don't know how that's on there.
Do not give them that bloody credit.
Everyone in the chat,
put an L in the chat for Mike.
I can correct it. It's okay. There's a good thing you pointed out, and it was something I was hoping to point out. Paul pointed out the first one, which is Brock Hoffman. I actually think you could actually kick him further inside again to center. And if they decide to not keep Tyler Biadasz, that could be a guy going forward that could be your starting center. It's not, he's not going to be perfect at it, but I think he's going to be a guy that will do enough that you can get away with it for at least a year as a stopgap.
Yep.
The big one, though, because I made a note on this, was, and I know a lot of people make complaints about the Cowboys' offensive line, and it does need rejuvenating. It does need restocking. That's no argument. But I think we do need to give flowers to Mike McCarthy, right? Because you think about this. In years past, we've always had a good starting offensive line. When you think about it, you know, when we go back to Travis Frederick days or the Doug Free days, they always had a good starting offensive line. Depth was always the issue. But I think this year, you've had the likes of, you know, I've forgotten his name now, from the Jets.
Odoga?
Yes, thank you very much. Chuma Odoga. You've had Chuma Odoga come in. You've had Brock Hoffman. You know, as you say, TJ Bass has come in. And when they've come in, they haven't got you killed. And I think that's a big laying flowers to Mike McCarthy. That they haven't been perfect. I'm not saying that they're these perfect guys that you're like, oh, they could be stars. I'm just saying they didn't get you killed. That the depth came in and they were able to just keep things going enough.
I don't know about Odoga though. If you play Odoga at guard, then I would agree with you.
Yes, but
not as a tackle.
Not as a tackle.
He's abysmal at tackle.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, but what I'm saying is just like generally that, you know, they didn't do bad when they were made or put into that position. But here's one about the running game for you, right, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
I like this one. I like this, right? And I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed we haven't seen in the back half of this season any Kevontae Turpin?
Well, we have seen glimpses,
yeah.
But I'm not worried though, Mike. Because the reason why I'm not
I know why Mike's asking, because this is, you know, this is keeping things under wraps to unleash in the playoff.
What do you think if they kept him back on purpose to hide him and stash him away?
I don't see why not. I mean, I've been saying this whole season, we're not showing all of our cards. So
yeah,
and this is the time where you start revealing piece by piece now to keep teams thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, you were on it straight away, Lorne, where I was going with it. What do you think? Do you think that they've held him back, like in the back half of this season, to try and just be like, because we know he can do it. We've seen him. That when they give him the ball, I mean, he's electric. He's gone. But he is a gadget player. But it just seems to be like they've held him back slightly these last few weeks to just like be like, let's not, as Paul say, show all our cards.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, interestingly, you've seen an increase in the number of snaps that Jalen Tolbert's been getting. You've seen a little bit more of Jalen Brooks playing as well. You've seen less of Gallup. You've seen less of Kevontae Turpin. Both Gallup and Turpin being held back? You know, again, is this suddenly we're going to come out with a different look and, you know, the Packers aren't going to be ready for it. 49ers aren't going to be ready for it, whoever else we're playing. It's interesting this week as well that, you know, Mike's having them practice indoors this week so that nobody's can be walking past or no drones or anything like that, you know. So obviously he is working with exotics and what have you to get this involved as well. So
it's been a bit like the 49ers you just mentioned. Joe just makes the comment, let's just say we lose to the 49ers in the NFC Championship, would you fire McCarthy or hire Dan Quinn as head coach?
No, I mean,
I mean, to me, I hate this type of talk because we're still on the season right now. But hypothetically speaking, we've been further than no other coach has been since Jimmy Johnson. Barry Switzer. Mm.
Yep.
Right. Why would we get rid of that?
What has Mike McCarthy done, right? When you stop and you turn around and you go, you want to fire Mike McCarthy, who as a head coach has got us consecutively into the playoffs. Okay, there was the COVID year, but I mean, it's the COVID. do you know what I mean? I'll put a pass on that for any coach player. It was a bad year, right? So you've got Mike McCarthy who's doing that, winning records, winning the NFC East. You think of the players he's brought in. He takes a coach who failed at the Falcons, and you can say, yeah, he got to the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was a fail. Like, by halftime, to lose it by that much, yeah, that's a fail. So he's taken a failed head coach and rejuvenated that man's career, right? And he's brought him back from the brink. So you're saying now what you want to do is you want to switch those over? You want to fire one for another guy? Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator, fantastic. And I've always said this. We've said this on the show before. There are some guys who are built to be coordinators and some guys who got it to be able to be head coach.
It's coordinator. Wade Phillips is a prime example. He was
Jason
never
Garrett.
Like both of those guys were never really properly head coaches. Probably much, much better as coordinators more than anything, but not head coaches. But
Definitely. But
we're not trying to trash the question on you, Joe.
It's a
great question, but it's just at this time of year, like, it's just like we're seeing all the chatter on Twitter, and for me anyway, I just look at it, I'm like, the season's still alive. We're in the playoffs. We have an opportunity to win it. Why do we want, even if we do get to the NFC Championship, why would we get rid of that best chance that we've got as of right now? Who would we actually really would replace him? Like Dan, you just mentioned Dan Quinn. I wouldn't want Dan Quinn as my head coach. I'd want him to keep him as my defensive coordinator because I think Dan Quinn now realizes where his
limitation.
Exactly. So, and.
And I mean, the thing for me as well, you're not, if you get rid of McCarthy this year, McCarthy has been also been your offensive coordinator. Yeah, Schottenheimer's been in title, but McCarthy's been the one that's been the actual play caller. You replace that, you've got to replace an entire, you know, you've got probably going to have to get a new defensive coordinator because, you know, if you're bringing Dan Quinn up, Dan Quinn's not going to be handling the defense. So, okay, might promote Aiden Durdee or whatever, but you know, you're talking about a change there. You're talking about needing a change.
It'll be a whole new scheme change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that is a change of culture. That is a change of corporate culture as well. So, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to pick up from where you left off and still be 12-5. If McCarthy had a Jason Garrett type a career where, you know, we were 12-5, 4-12 or 5-12 or whatever, and then back to 12-5, then if he lays an egg in the playoffs, you probably can him. I don't see for consistency a 12-5. If you can guarantee me that you get to the playoffs every single year for 5, 6, 7 years,
keep him.
And
yeah,
you keep him because once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. A play here, a play there, and you know it goes in your favor. And
there's nowhere to hide in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's funny that you mentioned about culture. Not to kind of jump off topic though, because obviously with the news breaking today with Bill Belichick now stepping down as head coach, that's going to be a big, massive culture change for the New England Patriots. Who are you going to bring Vrabel in? Like for the former Titans coach, which seems to be the favorite candidate right now, that's a completely different environment. Completely, so you're going to see a completely different Patriots team. So if that's something to go off by, look what the Patriots is going to be like right now if we were to get rid of Mike McCarthy.
I think they'll go college way. That's where they're going to go.
Well, as Paul says, though, I mean, Vrabel started this week saying, "Oh yeah, I'm interested in the Patriots job if it comes available." The Patriots wouldn't have necessarily made this, and then unless they've got somebody already in line for the job, and now that Vrabel's gone as well, he's certainly available. But I mean, who would you steal from the college ranks to bring up? Because I know Harbaugh's coming out supposedly, but
nah. Harbaugh saying that is just that it's this time of year. It's every year, which basically is him saying, "Pay me more money."
I think so, but I think there is with all the controversy that he's had this year, and you know the suspension for a bit as well. I think that is probably, you know, and he has changed his agent recently as well.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So you know there is that yeah, it could be just be a negotiating ploy with Michigan, but I think you'll probably see him coming back this year.
I don't know. It's just because he's done it so much and so often. But like you say, the one with Harbaugh is that he's been suspended twice in one season, so or banned from the game. That is a crazy one, mine. But it just goes to show you how much collateral Super Bowl rings have in the NFL. You can literally take your team from 0 to 6 Super Bowls and you have a couple of bad seasons and you are gone. But yep. I have heard that the Belichick and Kraft relationship has been under strain for a couple of years.
Doesn't surprise me after Brady left.
It was before Brady when things because they didn't see things the same way.
Oh, Joe has made he's making some good discussion here. Don't forget Kellen Moore's looking for a coaching job.
Well, so far he's only interviewed for San Diego. Los Angeles.
You did it again.
I did it again. I'll never. I'll finally get round to calling them the Commanders as well, and they'll change their name next year, and I've got to start all over again as well.
Yeah, it's the
Washington Comedies.
But okay, so running game guys, we'll go back to this, and then we'll touch on Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and we'll hit the defense. Pollard looking much better as a runner, but you know, on top of what was going on with the offensive line, it looked a little better. And I know you got to take it with a pinch of salt, right, guys? Because the Commanders last week didn't have much of a starting lineup out there, right? Yeah. But still, the Cowboys still executed. One thing I did notice, though, that I quite liked, Hunter Lipke, truck and trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was clearing out quite nicely on a number of times.
So was Rico Dowdle.
If you think this is their first season in the league, or Lipke's first season in the league, he's already getting up, you know, he's getting that experience. Next year, I mean, to compare him to a fullback of the past, Moose Johnson, you know, it's going to be that sort of role for him. And then if you can get him out on the swing passes or whatever, use him like Kyle Juszczyk or whatever.
A little bit, you could do that. Yeah.
You know, it's just going to make him so much better as well. So. But the improvement from week 1 to week 18. For what you say there, Mike, about it being the Commanders not having a starting defense out there, obviously we had TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman in, so you couldn't really say we were our number one offensive line as well. But, you know, we were knocking them around. So,
But it wasn't just that. What I liked is that you were getting Pollard. They were doing enough to get him into the second level, but you were seeing Tony Pollard then scrap for the extra yards and drive forward, and that was what was getting him. Because what's been missing from Tony Pollard this week, this season, sorry, not this week, what's been missing from Pollard this season, it hasn't been the runs. The runs, the normal sort of run-of-the-mill sort of runs that you need to make, the bread and butter of a running backs game, he was doing. But what was missing was the chunk plays. He wasn't getting these explosive plays that would go in 10 yards and beyond. But last week with Washington, he did. And I think he broke either 3 or 4 chunk plays. That once you do that, that's fine. Now you are you can invest into your running game in that game because you know you're breaking those linebackers down.
Yeah. I mean, again, the one thing with Pollard as well, he was coming back from the injury as well.
Yeah.
So the same way that you're talking about Terrence Steele being getting better and better week after week, as you trust the injury and all that, you know, I think the same is there with Pollard as well. And, you know, everything was going wrong at the beginning of the season because the offensive line weren't communicating, the running backs, the running coordinator was away from the team with illness as well. Mm-hmm. So there was no pure coordination for the running game between the offensive line and the running backs. And I think slowly this has got better and better as the season's gone on. Mm. And, you know, hopefully we're peaking just at the right time as we're going into the playoffs as well.
I'm glad you said it. I actually used that word, mate, in my article talking about Tony Pollard. I said it could be that this offensive line and Tony Pollard are peaking just at the right time, as well as Rico as well. Rico made some important runs as well. So Dak Prescott finished the season leading the NFL in passing touchdowns. Among starting quarterbacks, he ranked 6th fewest in interceptions. Nobody seems to be talking about interceptions, funnily enough, this time of year. But hell of a season. What do we make of Dak Prescott at the moment? I mean, 4 touchdowns in that last game just took complete command.
The real MVP of this league. Let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Right.
Sorry. Do you know what? I'm going to disagree with you, Paul. The real MVPs of this league are our listeners.
Oh, true. That's true. But in terms of the NFL,
the players,
that's the MVP for me because don't get me wrong, right? And I'm not bashing Lamar Jackson at all, but primarily he's a running style quarterback, right?
Yeah,
and that's fine. As his highlight reel, you haven't seen him like really like maybe the 1 or 2 passes to Odell Beckham or to Zach. What's his name?
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers. That's the one.
That's and we like to say Flowers, Paul.
We do. Like, there's no doubt about it. But when you look at the stats in terms of the way how the games have progressed, like, that seems to be the go-to. Obviously, it's really hard to stop Lamar Jackson from running and escaping from the pocket because that's the type of player he is. But what else has he done? He's no really, like, throwing up the yardage like Dak or the majority of Sam Howell's got more passing yards than him right now. You know what
I mean? Do you know how I can make you just mic drop on this one?
Go for it.
Lamar Jackson this season, right? And we'll compare the two with Dak Prescott. I know this off by heart. So Lamar Jackson has 3 games this season where he scored 0 touchdowns. Like nothing, not a sausage. Dak Prescott, he did the same, but only twice. So then you go and look the other way. So how many games were there where either quarterback scored 3 or more touchdowns? Lamar Jackson, 2. Dak Prescott, 6.
Yep.
There you go. Just mic drop. Yeah. And, you know, people will say, and this is the bit that makes me laugh, and I put this
It's the competition or something like that.
No. But the one that makes me laugh is you go, all right, but Lamar Jackson hasn't got that many passing yards, and he is certainly, I think he's only on about 24 passing touchdowns. And they go, yeah, we'll include the rushing stats. And I go, okay, we'll include the rushing stats then. Are you going to include then the 11 fumbles he had, or do we ignore them as well?
Yep, there we go.
Funny how that works out.
Chris, if you're actively running as a rusher, basically, then those stats should still matter.
They should still matter.
Because it matters to Jalen Hurts.
It matters if it was Dak making fumbles.
Yep.
Thank you.
Completely agree. But, hey, the main thing is Dak feels slighted. Dak's got, as I say, tackling fuel, you know.
Yeah.
This will only propel him for the playoffs. And, you know, he'll be Super Bowl MVP, you know.
And he does play bad when he's pissed off. When the media piss him off, he plays good. And he's done it before where he's thanked the media. He's gone, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, yeah, you just want me to be pissed off. Never answered the question, just said that.
Yeah, just to bring up Mark Arnold's comment here, and it's a great comment. To be a fourth-round project pick to basically be under Tony Romo, who was never picked to be a star, but possibly good backup, Dak has well exceeded expectations. With that said, if the Cowboys don't reach the NFC Championship game, he has. When you look at Dak Prescott's career, he's went above and beyond for what we got him for. We actually, like, see during his rookie contract, he was actually pretty much underpaid. He was not being paid as a starter. Like,
correct.
And then obviously he got his big contract and he hasn't fallen down drastically. Like, he had to be hurdled last year, yeah. But this year he's came out gunslinging. He's been phenomenal this year. Like, don't get me wrong, like, he had maybe the one or two bad games, yeah, but
all quarterbacks have bad games.
Yeah, but from the overall perspective, when you look at every quarterback in the NFL as of right now, who's been the most consistent? Dak has. Less turnover ratio, more touchdowns, more passing yards, more creating opportunities, spreading the field, throwing it to different people from tight ends to wide receivers, even to his running backs. Dak's doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
With likes of Lamar Jackson, it's either going to be a run play option, or it's going to be Odell or Zay Flowers. That's it.
Or design run. Yeah.
Like, that's the limitation, but obviously some teams find it really hard to stop that, and we'll applaud them for that because their offense is obviously well efficient. But that's down to the team, not to Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, yep.
Yeah, and it's like, it's the argument that, you know, LP Cruz from Blogging the Boys?
Yes.
Yeah, who was talking together on Twitter earlier, and some Eagles fan made a comment that, oh, look, Hurts has only been in the league 4 years and he's got to a Super Bowl, and I turned around and I was like, so now all of a sudden, because we're in this mode of moving goalposts, we're saying that winning playoff games and winning NFC Championship games and going to the Super Bowl is now suddenly a quarterback stat. Like, why are we making winning games a quarterback stat? You either go there or you don't.
If that's the case, then Trent Dilfer should be a bloody Hall of Famer then.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
Here's the thing, though, Mike. I'm glad that you mentioned, like, Jalen Hurts here. Emmanuel Acho actually made this a really good point. It's like a guy that was for the Heisman and stuff like that. Then he got to the championship in college. Then the year after, completely fell down, pretty much.
He got to the Natty, and the Nick Saban pulled him out and put Tua in.
Yeah,
They won the game.
So it's now happened with the Eagles. But here's the thing with the Eagles: it feels like history is repeating with itself, right?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, great start to the team. When he got his big contract, downhill. Yeah. It's history repeating itself.
But the thing with Jalen Hurts as well is that, and this is the bit I picked up on that I like the most, is that you look at Jalen Hurts, look at the pieces he's got around him, look at the offensive line. He's always had a good offensive line. He's got two good wide receivers. AJ Brown is class. He's got one of the best tight ends in the league, and they've always had a good running game, whether it was Miles Sanders or, as it was this year, Swift. But then you go back to college, he was in Alabama.
They had Derrick Henry,
Judy and Ruggs, and, you know, all these players. Then he goes to Oklahoma that had, like, one of the best passing attacks in college that year.
He had Lamb.
Yeah. Yep. So you look at it and you just like go, he's always had talent wherever he's gone. So you have to add to that when you're doing your evaluation. Like Dak was in Mississippi State and was breaking SEC records as a quarterback with no bodies. There you go. He elevated everybody else as opposed to everybody else elevating him.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. But there we have it. Now, yes, that's Dak. CeeDee Lamb, guys, how do we feel about Lamb breaking the single season record for the Cowboys in receptions and yards? But also, he finished second in the NFL in passing yards. Or receiving yards, I should say. Second in touchdowns, second in first downs, and first in yak yards among wide receivers this year.
Yep.
It's a big FU from the media who wrote him off as not as a number one wide receiver. So CD Lamb is a glorified number one wide receiver.
Whether you like it or not, he's
Whether you like it or not, he and he's just been phenomenal. And he's going to be so key to this game and going forward.
Ah, yeah. Do you know what? I asked Des Bryant that. I said, I sent him one saying, CeeDee Lamb, is this as big as it's going to get, or are we only scratching the surface? And his reply was just like, there's more to come. And he's just like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, as I said on Tuesday night there, if CeeDee Lamb hadn't gone and actually sat down with Mike McCarthy and done it the right way and said, look, you're not giving me the ball. Give me the ball and I'll show you what I can do.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we would be questioning him. But, you know, he did it the right way. He went and sat down with Mike McCarthy. He hasn't done what allegedly AJ Brown has, where there's problems in the locker room and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, I think there's a tweet out there that, you know, if he's going to come down to AT&T and play for us next year if he can.
I'm not going to give the guy credit because he is a not bona fide troll.
I know who you're on about, Paul. But he did it, obviously CD's done it the right way, and there's harmony in the locker room at the moment, and you know everybody's getting their bit. You know, same with Brandon Cooks. I mean, Brandon Cooks must have been wondering what the hell he'd been traded for. You know, because everybody, you know, Dak was throwing it straight to Michael Gallup when he wasn't looking for CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup was piecemeal as to whether he was actually catching the ball or not. You know, and again, he must have gone and sat down with McCarthy and said, look, give me the ball and I'll repay you. And he's gone on a tear as well. So, and he's because he's got to be covered as well. That's saying you can't just bracket CeeDee Lamb. So CeeDee Lamb's still getting the opportunities as well. So, you know, as long as you got both of these guys and you got Jake Ferguson as well, this offense is well powered, I think. So,
Paul,
sorry, say that again.
I tell you what. Let's give you a different one, right?
In fact, I do have a point though. When it comes to the right receivers, though, where does this lie, Michael Gallup?
Because you've got Talbot waiting in the wing. You've got other guys sat back there. You know, we're talking about Turpin. I truly believe they're holding Turpin back for what is about to be unleashed in the playoffs. I really believe that. I think that they've done that on purpose.
Yeah.
What happens now with Gallup?
I totally agree with you, Chris. As much as I love Michael Gallup, but he's just not the same player anymore. And whether that's him getting his featured on the field, whenever he's on the field, it just doesn't look the same. I mean, he's had moments there and there in the middle part of the season, but it's still not enough. And based on what his contract is right now, and I don't want to talk about off season. I hate talking about it because we're still in the season right now. But but you know where I'm going with this. I generally do feel that this could be a possible trade, get offload a Gallup for some more late round draft picks.
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'd say is that with Gallup, the way his contract is it's at the moment it's 6 2/3. If you release him, you're not saving anything on the cap. You're actually, I think, you may be saving £800,000 or $800,000. Yeah.
You know, so there's... You're all over the place, Lord.
I know. I'm as giddy as anything because it's the playoffs. But
I'm with you, bro.
You know, you could potentially keep him on the roster next year. Maybe ask him to take a pay cut, or redesign the deal. But you know, if not, yes, it's trade bait, and it still is. You know, at $13 million, it still is relatively simple for some team to come along and take him as well, and it's cheap cost for it as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it is. I do worry about Gallup, and it seems to be ever since the ACL injury, it never came back.
Yeah,
it's one of those things, and it's unfortunate. But you know, when you think about it, that the style of wide receiver Michael Gallup is, you know, where explosiveness is the biggest, you know, is one of his best friends. ACL injury completely diminishes that, you know, and it takes years for that to come back. And I just think we're kind of stumped really with where we are with him. But here's a good one for you. Dak Prescott, we mentioned, was six fewest in interceptions. Do you know where the Green Bay Packers defense ranks in total interceptions?
So 27th or something.
28th.
Paul's the closest. They rank second fewest.
Right.
Yeah. So, slinging it. One of the reasons, though, is that most of these teams, most of the offenses, just don't pass much on them because this 3-4 defense is predicated on a pass rush. They just run on them. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, but is Jair Alexander fit for this game?
He is. He's back in. He was suspended because of that weird coin toss thing. But to make you feel a little bit better, Jair Alexander does not look, going back watching, he does not look the same at the moment. He's been injured. He missed half the season. Came back for a game. Done that weird coin toss thing that was going on, whatever that was about. Got suspended for a game.
And interestingly, didn't practice today. So he was limited yesterday with a shoulder and ankle. He hasn't practiced today. So, and I'll tell you what, AJ Dillon's not practiced today either. So that's 2 days in a row he's not practiced. So probably look at him being out for the weekend as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. They've been having all kinds of issues with the defensive backs. So they've got on the defensive back side, they're playing Carrington Valentine, who is a 7th round pick in this year's draft. And I'm just saying, go and watch the tape because this is somewhere they need to attack. He's very good on contested balls when you go and watch it. But this is the type of player where CeeDee Lamb can just have a field day against. The instincts, like, and his ability to stay with wide receivers when they break on their routes, he really struggles. He's got the speed and the acceleration, the explosiveness, and he's got the hops too. He can jump, but he cannot keep with receivers in their routes. And I just think that's the perfect guy where you don't put Cooks on him. That's the type of guy you don't want to put Cooks on, but you put CeeDee Lamb on him and you go to town. You tear him apart. Their pass rush is quite interesting. They got some good pass rushes on the inside. And the two guys, Rashawn Gary, he's really good. He's been playing well. But talk to me, guys, though, about the Cowboys defense. I want to go the other way. How do we stop Jordan Love?
I think get in his face when he has had time to pass. than he's actually, you know, and you've seen it against some of the poorer pass rushing teams, that when he has had time to pass, then he's been able to torch the secondary, and he's been able to connect to Christian Watson, Dobbs as well.
Yeah.
But if somebody is in his face, you know, within 2.4 seconds, which is what our defense is generally getting to the quarterback in, then, you know, he will throw it up. And then obviously with guys like Gilmore, Bland, even Donovan Wilson in the last couple of weeks, and Jordan Lewis, we have guys that are able to take this ball away from receivers.
Donovan Wilson's come on the list.
I mean, you know, he certainly picked it up in the last couple of games, because we criticised him about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Sure enough, he stepped up. So
the last 2 weeks, just really come on. Because I've always said this with Donovan Wilson, it's not that he's not really a very specific type safety defender. He's a box safety, we know that, right? But what I find with Donovan Wilson, it's the defensive playmaking that he has. So you might get, like, you know, a tackle here, a tackle, then all of a sudden it's boom, it's a tackle for a loss, boom, it's a tackle for a loss. And then, and you just watch it and you're like, oh, here we go. And it's that playmaking ability he's got that I like, that they'll just, he makes these incredible plays out of nowhere. But I think what happened for the majority of the season is he was just missing that playmaking ability for whatever it was. And then all of a sudden the last 2 weeks, is sort of sprung on. And like you say, Jordan Lewis as well. And he was a guy where I was kind of like, is he a guy you want to keep around? Turns out, yeah.
Yep.
And this is a big bonus to the defense when you get into the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, especially when these teams looking back through the history of your games, they might skip past, like, some of the more recent stuff to go and see, like, patterns. And all of a sudden, then, it's just this odd pattern at the end of the season where there's a couple of players shining and peaking at the right time. Sam Williams was an interesting one. Dante Fowler got 2 sacks last week, I think is a big interesting factor. Because, like you say, Lorne, you don't even really need to get to Jordan Love. But I didn't have one very interesting stat that I quite like. The Green Bay Packers, if Jordan Love is sacked 2 or more times in a game, they average 18 points a game.
Yeah, and with our offense, that would mean we'd only have to get to 20 points to guarantee that we've pretty much got the win. So
yeah, and the Cowboys' offense is averaging 31 points a game. So there, you know, and I've gone back and checked to see what was the most points scored against us. Oh, sorry, the least amount of points scored against us in a loss, and it was Miami, 22 points.
Yep.
So get to Love, sack him, bring him down. Now, people, I see 1 year from Lebowski saying about, don't worry about Jordan Love, stop Aaron Jones. Agree. I do agree on that factor that, and I mentioned at the start of the show, he's over 350 yards in the last 3 games. Hasn't scored a touchdown though, but that is a big factor because they do have to stop that run. Thoughts on who you use to stop the run or what you would do here, Paul?
In terms of stopping the run?
Yeah, and Aaron Jones.
Just really get into the faces of the offensive linemen. Make sure that we're hitting those gaps correctly and make sure that our weak side is definitely covered. Like, whether it's on DeMarcus Lawrence's side or it's on Micah Parsons' side, whether he's going to be off ball and we've got, like, maybe Sam Williams or Dante Fowler at the other end, we just need to make sure that every gap is utilized in terms of our edges. Whoever's on the weak side has that cover.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if I was Mike McCarthy or Dan Quinn, I would actually sit them down and watch every single game that Aaron Jones has had against us, because, you know, you will see that Aaron Jones has been an absolute killer for the Packers against us for about the last 4 or 5 years. Every time we've played him, he seems to have had 100 yards in the multiple touchdowns as well. So,
yeah.
And what it, half the time what it is, you know, a quick pitch out. This is what, again, we probably should be doing as a West Coast offense to get Tony Pollard the ball, is whipping it out to the sidelines. You know, not necessarily a straight handoff, but a pitch out or something like that. And that's that's how they get Aaron Jones going, because if he can pick up speed and catch the ball on the run, then, you know, he's a hard man to bring down. But, you know, again, he's on the injury report. I'm sure he'll want to play this weekend as well. But I think the fact that Micah's come on in the last couple of weeks with the run defence, obviously Tank Lawrence is having a fantastic year as well. You got Hankins back. You could maybe think about going to the Hankins and Mazi Smith lineup, where you've got them side by side, and it allows you to freelance a bit more with the defensive ends and the linebackers that you've got.
Yeah. There was a name for that, isn't there? Do they call it something like the Mammoth Formation or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah.
Line up with that, and then that obviously keeps the offensive line off your linebackers as well, because we need that. We need Damone Clark as well. Damone Clark's been stepping up the last couple of weeks. Seems to be seeing where the ball's going better, flowing to the ball. And you're still getting great play from Marquise Bell as well. So,
yeah, I will agree with you on the running with Damone Clark. The issue I've got with Damone Clark at the moment is his pass coverage. He's for the type of player he is. He's
weird. NFL All-Star voting is underway.
Sorry, just went off.
Yeah, you just blew everyone's eardrums out. But yeah, no, it's weird to see Clark. He has gotten better flowing to the ball. You know, as I always say, go slow before you know. He's been doing that. But it's the pass coverage. He just seems to be, he's not giving up the big yards, but and the issue we've got is Jordan Love really loves to target the middle of the field. Like short middle is like his bread and butter. Like he absolutely loves it. So, if he's going to target there a lot, he's right in Damone Clark's wheelhouse there, and Damone Clark is giving up a lot of receptions, and that's scary to me. I just think that's dodgy ground where we're going, but hopefully he can pull it out. That's my big concern really with Damone Clark.
Yep.
Question for you though, and then I'll ask you guys and everyone at home, whether you're watching live or after the show's gone out. Big question, though. Does Deron Bland get himself an interception this weekend?
Oh. Paul, you must have pulled your mic out.
There you go.
I don't see why not. It is the playoffs, I thought, so anything can happen.
I'm going to say, yeah, he does. I think if we can get to Jordan Love, then Jordan Love's going to put the ball in the air, and you know that's when the mistakes come as well. So
just some news before I ask the big question. Practice report. So Tyron Smith, Zach Martin did not participate. Are they down to? Because I haven't seen what they're down.
They're both rest days actually.
Yeah,
so,
days good.
I mean, basically, Tyron Smith's not practicing at all during the week, so that he's ready in game time. And I think they're doing the same with Zach, obviously recovering from that illness last week as well.
Yeah.
So
just make
sure he's as 100% as possible.
The three limited is Hankins, Tyler Smith, and Gilmore. I did ask a question about Gilmore. Gilmore basically popped the shoulder out. They popped it back in, and then they just kind of didn't want to aggravate nothing, and they've let him rest basically. So he is. I got told watch him to be on the practice report, but don't take too much.
Just take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, because he is fine. He could have played last week. Tyler Smith, we know about Hankins. He's obviously still coming back, and then Hooker and Armstrong full participants. So good news there. So it's all going on. So here we go then, guys. Ooh, let me get to it. Let me get to the big one. Here we go, guys. Final score predictions then. As I say, put in the comments, guys, live or not, what you think the fight. We do check the comments and we'll like them and we'll put them onto our little tally. What do you guys think the final score is going to be? I've given the score this weekend on Blogging the Boys. They've asked me, you know, they do the predictions every week. I've said 31-24 to the Cowboys.
Oh, I'm not far off from you, actually. I'm 30, nice. I'm 33-24.
You've gone for a funny.
I'm 31-22.
Oh, so we're there or thereabouts. So we've got a couple of. So I'm going for one Brandon Aubrey, and you guys are going for like a little mismatch of. Oh, by the way, we do need to say that is all pro bowler Brandon Aubrey.
And I'm getting that's the next jersey I'm going to be getting.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, as soon as it was announced, I was like, well, it looks like I'm getting me another 17 jersey then. Add it to my collection of number of 17s, an odd number I'm collecting at the moment.
Joy is always going for my 40 burger, Dallas 40, Packers 14, and Lebowski's going 34-24.
So there's something in that.
He had me doing a double take there because that's his original scoreline there of 23-20, and I thought, wait a minute, that's him saying the Packers are winning. So no.
Oh, that reminds me, Labasio, did you get home last night? I enjoyed our little coffee yesterday, and I hope. What time is your flight tomorrow?
Now, there's a conspiracy if you ever want one. You do. Some of you may or may not know, but there was a very weird conversation we have off air about that. But yes, so that is it then, guys. So there's no point in we don't. Usually we end the show doing fantasy football, but that's all over. It's quite nice for it to be done, but it's all on this now. It is a case of are we one and done or do we keep going? Obviously, no matter what happens, the show will be on. When the season ends, we always end on a fan rant show. So always keep an eye out for that, where you guys take over the show. But don't worry, that's going to happen.
That's not going to be until February.
Oh, yeah, into mid-February when we do that. So don't worry about that, guys. The guys, though, will be back on Tuesday to do the post-game show where they talk about the big win. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you tune in on that as well. Paul, hit me with this. Pay the bills, please.
Yes, guys. If you're planning on going to a Dallas Cowboys game next season, be sure to go to CowboysExperience.com for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more. To take up an opportunity of the great promo packages that we Cowboys Experience offer, be sure to use the code UKCowboys.
That's right. So, yes, you have yourselves a very lovely weekend. The game is kicking off here in the UK 9:30 in the evening. Obviously, that's 3:30 p.m. Central Time. Wherever you're watching it, make sure that you let us know where you're watching from. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and we will be there. We ain't going nowhere. But as we always do every week, I always start the show with the first word. But these guys, oh, yeah, and it's a whiteout, yeah.
Yeah, white jerseys will be on display for this game 100%. If you're going to the game, make sure you're wearing white.
You know what? I am. I'm going to wear my white CD Lamb jersey. Why not?
There we go.
A white knot. Yes, as I say, I have the first word of the show, so these guys have the last word. You've been the MVPs of the show, guys. You've been fantastic. We'll see you all after the weekend.
Okay, the curse is lifted. Let's exorcise some demons this week, and let's progress on to the next round of the playoffs. See you all next week, guys.
Let's smother ourselves and absolutely kill some cheese, man. I don't know where I'm going with that, but anyway, Dallas better feel like forever. Screw the pitch in that one.